Welcome to Utah Public Radio's Eating the Past and Other Tasty Morsels, a show that explores all things food.
Your hosts are Jeannie Sir, Jamie Sanders, and Tammy Proctor, all from the History Department at Utah State University. I'm Jamie Sanders, and today is part two of our conversation we are calling Eating the Past Goes Medieval. This week, we are welcoming Dr. Christine Cooper-Rampato, professor of medieval literature at Utah State University. Christine has a new book coming out entitled Spiritual Calculations, Numbers and Numeracy in Late Medieval English Sermons. Today, however, she's going to talk with us about food in the Middle Ages before her cooking demonstration with Dr. Alexis Sand on October 28th as part of the Eating the Past Zoom series. Christine, welcome to Eating the Past.
Oh, thank you.
What is one of your favorite stories about food in the Middle Ages?
Oh, there are so many, but I guess I have to go with one of the most famous examples from England. Around the year 1400, Geoffrey Chaucer wrote the Canterbury Tales, which is a collection of tales narrated by a bunch of men and women going on pilgrimage from London to Canterbury. The pilgrims start off at an inn called the Tabard, and they all agree to a contest. Each of them will tell four stories, and the best storyteller will win dinner, paid for by everybody else when they return to the inn. Many of the individual stories that Chaucer writes includes discussion of food. For example, there's a nun who isn't charitable at all to people, but she gives expensive white bread to her pet dogs.
So what are some modern myths or misconceptions about food in the Middle Ages?
I'll mention the most common myth that I hear. So students always ask me if it's true that medieval people covered up the taste of rotting meat with spices. That is definitely not true. Spices, especially if they were imported, were expensive, and meat was by far less expensive. So if you wanted to cover up the taste of rotting meat, Chaucer suggests you could hide it in pastry. In the Canterbury Tales, the character of the cook is accused of feeding customers stale parsley and twice heated pies to cover up the rancid meat, and of having too many flies in his shop.
Well, some problems are eternal. Well, give our listeners a preview of the recipe you will cook for the Eating the Past Zoom presentation. In your case, it is not a recipe for food, right?
It's not food, Jamie, but I'm really excited to make this recipe. It's actually a medical salve or poultice for wounds that you can apply topically. I'll be making the Nine Herbs Charm, which is at least 1,000 years old and written in a language called Old English. It's basically an incantation or magical charm that involves nine relatively common plants, some ashes from a fire, as well as soap. The recipe says to grind the plants into a powder and then heat everything together. When you apply the poultice, you invoke the healing powers of the plants by reciting some verses that reference both Christ and Odin.
So when I did my Zoom Eating the Past, I translated my recipe for sopa de tortilla from Spanish to English. Tell us about translating your healing poultice from Old English to Modern English.
Ah, that's a wonderful question. Old English was the language spoken in England by most of the population between the years 650 and 1100. It looks a lot like German. It also has some Latin, Norse, and Celtic influences. The Nine Herbs Charm comes down to us in one collection called the Lachnunga. It was written around the year 1000, but the recipes could be much older, sometimes even centuries older. And perhaps the most difficult aspect of translation is identifying the plants. They're not given their specific names in most parts. Rather, their healing properties and some identifying characteristics are described. So scholars have really puzzled over what these herbs are.
And finally, did this charm or other ones like it actually work?
Well, I don't know yet if this charm works or not. We'll have to see. But there is a research team at the University of Nottingham in England. They're cooking up recipes from an old English manuscript called Bald's Leech Book. They discovered that one of the recipes, an eye salve, actually kills the antibiotic-resistant bacterial MRSA. So it's quite possible that the Nine Herbs Charm does work.
Sincere thanks to Christine for joining us today and sharing her enthusiasm for all things of the Middle Ages. Tune in on Zoom for the Eating the Past Goes Medieval cooking demonstration and discussion on October 28th at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. The link is available from the Utah State University History Department website at history.usu.edu.
Support for UPR's Eating the Past is made possible by USU Dining Services, always working to create an excellent college experience for students, faculty, and staff. Now 13 locations open around campus. More details at usu.edu/dining. And Rock Hill Creamery in Richmond, creating natural rind raw milk cheeses, including Dark or Snow Canyon Edam, named after two southern Utah canyons. Cheese with character, rockhillcheese.com.